Blog Talk Radio.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, earth, and sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Yahweh is the Elohim of the so-called African American who has been oppressed and enslaved for nearly 400 years. And we're going to speak about this mighty Elohim. And to all our viewers and listeners, we welcome you again. We know that the only reason you're listening is because you're a great fear toward mighty Yah. And we're going to speak about the Most High Word this evening. We're going to continue from what we started on the sixth day of last week. We're going to continue dealing with slavery. And on the sixth day, and even on the Sabbath day, we were teaching about the slave condition and how it has affected our minds, how we think and how we process information and how we rationalize and judge things and make decisions and how we follow or not follow the masses. Our situation in slavery has completely eroded all logical reasoning from the mind of the black man and woman scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. What some may call the African diaspora, some may call the Hebrew Israelite diaspora. I'm talking about the children of Israel, Yah's holy seed, that you might know to be African Americans. Slavery, the condition of it, has brought our people down to a point in which we don't recognize ourselves. And because slavery has done this, because this condition has allowed this deplorable condition to take place within our minds, it is very necessary that our people are taught the truth for once and for all. If you go with me to the book of Isaiah, and on the sixth day we dealt with the darkness of slavery really is. We went and looked in the book of the New Testament because that is a book that endorses a slave religion. The Christianity and all its components are slave religions. Catholicism is a Christian religion. Messianic Israelites follow a Christian religion. Lutherans are a Christian religion. Baptists, Episcopalians, Evangelicals, and so on and so forth. These are Christian religions, are apostolic and Pentecostal Christian religion, though they have variant beliefs, like Seventh-day Adventist Christian religion, though they have variant beliefs, they all use the same book that endorses slave mind state. And some of the scriptures we dealt with on that day was I'll just show you one just to show you the meat of the slave mind state. It was in Peter. That would be 1 Peter in the 2nd chapter. Chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear." You see, that right there is a violation, because you don't tell anybody to fear any man with all their heart. Because you're only supposed to fear one with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. Yet this is how you know you're dealing with a slave religion, an institution that is attempting to drive you away from the Almighty, when there's a doctrine in this book, and this is a doctrine because this verse I'm reading is repeated more than once in this book. And it says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to good and gentle, but also to the froward." So it's letting you know that you should be obedient to the good and nice masters. And I don't know how our people had a good, nice master, a nice, good master, or a good master. Just think about it. Slavery was a condition in which people bought some property, as they would say. Stolen. If you just have possession of stolen property today, you could go to jail. You could get arrested, get a ticket or something. Get in trouble. But slavery in America was a condition in which people purchased stolen property. Purchased stolen people. People were stolen. These people were thieved. Their ancestors were stolen. People went and took them from their houses and their communities. Somebody might have been out for a walk, got caught up. Somebody might have been out picking berries. They took them. All kinds of situations. They were stolen. And then this so-called nice master purchased this stolen person who belonged to a whole different land, who belonged to a whole different community, a whole different society, a completely different family, and he was or she was stolen. And then this so-called nice master purchased them and brought them to their property, subjugated them to a life of deplorable servitude. This nice master, as they want to call him, would have his cattle slaughtered. And they would take the thigh and the leg and the breast and the rib meat. And then they would throw the intestines and the liver and the stomach and the nose and the ears and the tongue and the tail and the hoof and the foot and the ankle and the knee and the rectum. They would throw it to their servants, slaves, your ancestors. Your ancestors had to eat things that was riddled with feces, urine, bacteria. Why you think you eat certain things today? Because our ancestors had to make refuse taste when it really wasn't something to be eaten. If you look at all the sacrifices of animals in the word of the Most High, all the inward parts you were to burn. Nobody should have been eating those. But you call this master nice. The New Testament calls this master good and gentle. Even though this good and gentle master had to break you in. Had overseers on his plantation to just that. Just like today, people say there's these nice police officers, these nice and good police officers, that they're good, but these are the same good police officers that are patrolling these deplorable neighborhoods that our people live in. I don't get it. I mean, I do get it, but when you look at it, you just be like, I don't get it. How you can drive in the neighborhood you live in or your family lives in or your friends live in, they're deplorable. And you're driving them and trash riddles the street. Trash just riddles the street as if nobody takes out the garbage. Trash just riddles the street. And as soon as you cross the main street, into the affluent area, which is just across the train tracks, across the main road, just across the street, across something, all of a sudden, the trash is invisible. There's no trash on the street. It's like the garbage man purposely sprinkles trash in your neighborhood. And these so-called nice police officers are harassing the people, but they're good. They're shooting your people, but they're good. Oh, they're good. They just had a bad day. They're good. They're just doing their job. It says to be subject to them with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So they're good. The ones that threw you cow liver and pig intestines, if they're good, then how horrible are the froward? I guess those are the ones that just shoot you for fun. Those are the ones that would every weekend have a picnic. And a picnic was when they would go find a Hebrew Israelite, also known as a black person, a Negro, an African American. They would go find a black person and string them up, catch them, string them up. This is in America. This is in Ohio. This is in Florida. This is in Georgia. This is in North and South Carolina, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kentucky, Virginia, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., Maryland, New Jersey, New York. Ain't did nothing. She ain't did nothing. But they're walking in the street. These enemies of yours will just pick them up and hang them and burn them and chop off their genitals and pickle them. I guess those are the froward, because the other ones that are good and gentle, they didn't do things like that. They just killed you when they had to, beat you when they had to, raped you when they had to. But these, they didn't have to do that, right? How do you be subject to that? But that is what the New Testament teaches. And that's a slave religion. That's a slave religion. And that is the condition that our people have been in. Being manipulated to believe that you actually should accept atrocious treatment. As it says in verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience sake toward Elohim endure grief, suffering wrongfully. How in the world is that good for you? You didn't do anything wrong. They call that persecution. That's called persecution. You're being persecuted, not prosecuted. You're being persecuted. You didn't do anything wrong. You're just you. You didn't do anything to these people. Yet, and still, you're supposed to allow them to destroy you because somebody told you that that is acceptable in the eyes of those high. And they said, for what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently, saying, how are you receiving glory and honor for taking your punishment? Yet, when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable to Elohim. This is a doctrine taught to our people. This is not only taught to our people, it's instilled in our people. And this is a condition that has put us in gross darkness. And our people must come out of this gross darkness. This is what you're up against, a doctrine that has allowed you to accept ill treatment even when you're not doing anything wrong. And even if you do something wrong, it's still not justifying ill treatment. Yah has order and his judgments are righteous. Yah said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a stripe for a stripe, a wound for a wound, a break for a break, a breach for a breach, a life for a life. That's what the Most High said. That's what Yah said. Do something wrong to somebody, like take their eye out, then Yah should have taken it out. And then this darkness that has spread throughout the world has flipped that to say now, an eye for an eye leaves everybody blind. That's not true. How can you really accept that kind of a statement? If I say eye for your eye, and then somebody says, well, eye for an eye leaves everybody blind. No, it doesn't. It leaves the person that took that person's eye without eye, and we can't put that other person's eye back. So unfortunately, they don't have an eye, and neither does the person who took it. Now, you think a bunch of people going to be running around taking out people's eyes if they eye going to be took? No. You think a bunch of people going to be running around taking out people's teeth if they know their teeth going to be knocked out? No. You think a bunch of people going to be running around killing people if they know they going to be killed? No. People murder this kid that murdered 17 people, and he's sitting in jail, getting fed, getting water, having the availability to use the bathroom, having the availability to read a book, having the availability to talk to his family, talk to a lawyer, talk to anybody. And he murdered 17 people deliberately. They caught him red-handed. He admitted it. He's not fighting innocent. And he's able to walk around. You think if he thought he would be killed for what he did, he would have done it? All these other people would be just running around killing folks? If everybody knew that the penalty for killing somebody is death, there wouldn't be a lot of killings. Because people want to live. And how in the world can you, in the light of Yah, if you've been raised under this type of darkness? Now go to the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. In Isaiah chapter 42, going to start reading at verse 13. Yahweh shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Yahweh says in verse 14, I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. Why is the Most High on this? Because for all this law will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they had known. I will make darkness light for them. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. So the Almighty prophesied that he's going to deliver us by showing us things we haven't seen. And we haven't seen this light that Yahweh has. We're beginning to see it. We have been revealing this, and Yah has been revealing this. Have been able to bring out the absolute truth of the word of the Most High. And this darkness is being made light now. But it's not finished. It hasn't even scratched the surface. But this is why we must look to Yah. He's the only one offering, declaring, and giving you the hope you haven't had. Because the slavery conditions have kept us in gross darkness. One of the things slavery has kept, has impeded on your life is your ability to believe and understand Yahweh. Let me tell you what he says in Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, start reading at verse 8. It says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. That's us. We're the blind that have eyes, and we're the deaf that have ears. He wants them. He wants us because he wants us to be able to see finally and hear truth. He says in verse 9, let all the nations be gathered together, and let all people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? This is why he wants us to bring forth the blind and the deaf. Look at all the nations and see who among them, among all the people, who among them can declare what Yahweh is going to declare? Who among them can show, let them bring forth their witnesses, get their wise men, their philosophers, their teachers, their prophets, their soothsayers, all their witnesses, bring them forth, their scientists, all of them, the ones that say they're scientists and they Live by evidence. Get them all. And let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is true. Yahweh is talking to the blind and to the deaf. He said, you are my witnesses, saith Yah, and my servant whom I have chosen. That's who you are. That ye may know. And this is what he wants you to hear. That ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no power form, neither shall there be after me. I am Yah, and besides me there is no savior. Yahweh wants you to know this. Yahweh wants you to know and believe and understand. But because of the slavery conditions, we haven't been able to know, believe, and understand. We don't know. We don't believe. And we surely don't understand. The reason we don't know is because we haven't been taught. We just haven't been taught. Many false prophets have rose up for their own gain that rather not teach you the truth. And they rather lead you into the abyss of ignorance. And this slave condition has required that your mind continue to be fattened with nonsense so that you continue to feed the slave system. Look what it's saying in Isaiah 55. Verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Yes, the Most High is talking to all of those that don't have it, and you want it. Don't have the money and the resources to go to the big universities. All you think is like, if I could just go study where W.E.B. Du Bois studied, where Barack Obama studied, where Martin Luther King studied, if I could just walk through the halls where James Baldwin walked through, if I could just be a learned man like Cornel West. But you ain't got it, because you want to know how you can help lift the people up, lift yourself up. You want that knowledge to feel empowered so you don't have to feel second rate, because slavery has made us feel like our hope is lost. And we're cut off from our parts. But when we see brilliant black men like Neil deGrasse and Cornel West, Barack Obama and Martin Luther King and Jesse Jackson, when we see these intelligent speaking brothers that went to Yale and Harvard, Howard and Chicago University and all these prestigious places, you just want to be able to do it, but you can't. You don't have the money. You don't have the ability. You don't have the resources. You just want to be able to get the knowledge. You want to be able to inspire and be inspired. Well, look, Yah is saying, look, you don't need the money. If you're thirsty, come to the waters. If you're hungry, come buy wine and milk. Buy the best. Get the best without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Yet you're trying to DIY, do it yourself. You're spending money on all these books. You're taking little courses here. You're doing little things here. You're giving money to all these gurus here. And y'all saying, why are you spending money for that which is not bread? You're not getting fed with what you're buying. You go into the grocery store and you figure Ezekiel 4:9 bread must be nutritious. But you still get cancer. And you say, why are you spending money? It's not bread. Why are you working for something and it's not satisfying you? You're doing all of this work, but you're still not satisfied. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Listen to the Most High, then you'll become rich in all ways. Rich. Hearken to the Most High. But we don't know who that is. We don't know him. Yah said he wants you to know, believe, and understand. He said he wants you to know and believe me and understand that I am he. That before me, there was no power form, no Elohim. He needs to know this. And you need to know. But the slavery has taken you away from the ability to know and believe and understand. But Yah said he will bring you by a way you don't know, that you haven't known and you haven't seen. And so let me show you. Begin to stop looking to your masters with all fear, and begin looking to Yah with all fear. We have to be able to break down this word into small bite-sized units so you can be able to be filled with this word. And that is why Yah inspired our Moray Ishaya, to be able to come and bring nothing but the truth every day. Because it needs to be able to be broken down into bite-sized units, just like your food. You can't put this whole entire book in your mouth at once. You need to be able to understand this thing. Let me show you what I'm talking about. The book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, in Nehemiah chapter 8, it says, in verse 6, it says, "And Ezra blessed Yah, the great Elohim, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up of hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped Yah with their heads and worshiped Yahweh with their faces to the ground. And Yeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Yamin and Akub and Shabbatai and Hodiah and Maasiah and Kelita and Azariah and Muzabad and Hanan and Peliah and the Levites caused people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of Elohim distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." That's what the teaching priests are supposed to do. Go to the book of Leviticus, the 10th chapter. You understand? They didn't just get up there and hoop holler, wave around their arms, pat their foreheads with a cloth. See, that's what you get in church. Because a slave religion wants you to be emotionally driven. You didn't see how the Levites got their emotions. You saw how they caused them to understand the law and read in the book of the law of Elohim distinctively and gave them the sense and the meaning. Meaning they broke it down into bite-sized units so you can be filled with this word. And in the book of Leviticus, it says, "And Yah spake unto Aharon, saying, do not drink wine, nor strong drink." Why not? Why not? Hold on, I'm going to show you why not. Because it's going to enhance the point I was making about the emotional deliverance. Go to the book of Proverbs. No, I'm sorry, the book of Isaiah, the 5th chapter. And in Isaiah 5, verse 11, it says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them." This is why you don't need to be drinking wine and strong drink, and you're going to teach. Oh, this is not what you're supposed to do. Look what it says in Isaiah. You get inflamed. You're enraged with the wine. And y'all know how alcoholic, and not just alcohol, you don't have to be alcoholic. You know how intoxicated people act. Emotional. Anybody that's ever been intoxicated knows that your emotions are heightened. You're inspirited. You're inspired by the spirits of the liquor. Be more emotional. In the book of Isaiah 56, just hold on to that Leviticus 10. Coming right back to it, but just to show you. In Isaiah 56, 1 verse 9. And it says here, "All ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are all greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand." If they can't understand, how are they going to get you to understand? "They all look to their own way, everyone for their own gain. From his quarter, come ye, they say, we'll fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." This is what the people that are teaching you today get all real riled up and crazy, emotional. It's because they chasing after the wine. I know they tell you not to, but they drunk. And Yah said in Leviticus 10 and 9, "Do not talk into Aaron, because this is what Aaron had to teach his sons." Because Aaron was the high priest. And Aaron's sons was set aside to be high priest, teaching priests. So what the high priest did, he taught. And he said to them, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy son with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. So he didn't say you can never drink, Aaron and sons, meaning you don't have to live a life where you never get to have a merry heart. That's what it says in the book of Psalms 4, that Yahweh gives you wine to make your heart merry. And there's a time to drink wine and you have a merry heart. But going into the congregation of the tabernacle of the congregation is not that time. And if a priest did it, it's a death penalty. Lest ye die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Yah spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. That's what the Levites are supposed to do. And they can't do this drunk. They can't do this alcoholed up, lick it up. And they're not supposed to do this without giving you the sense and the meaning, because you won't be able to understand if they just hop up there on the podium and say, go with me. And then they give a whole speech the rest of the time, hopping around, jumping around, looking like they drunk. And what did Yah say about this? In the book of Isaiah, the 29th chapter, it says here in Isaiah 29, verse 9, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For Yah have poured out upon them, upon you, the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. That's why you have all this nonsense going on, delivered through this slave religion. But Yahweh, He's tired of it now. And now, what we have here, as I was saying, one of the reasons the Most High has inspired Moriah Yeshaya to bring this word, but the truth, as much times during the week as he does and as we do, is because it is time for you to know, believe Yah, and understand that he is the one. Before him, there was no power form, and there will be none after him. But you have to know. And how are you going to believe if you don't know? And the way to know is you must be taught. And anybody can't teach you Yahweh's word. Why cannot just anybody teach you Yahweh's word? Anybody cannot just teach you Yahweh's word because Yahweh didn't send everybody to teach his word. Yahweh sent his servant to teach his word. And it is this what is what it says in the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter. In Amos chapter 3, verse 7, it reads, Surely Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Yah revealed secret unto his servants, the prophets. That's who he sent to teach his word. His servants. Look in the book of Malachi. The third chapter, or the second chapter. In Malachi chapter 2, we'll start reading right here in verse. It says, "For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts." That is who Yahweh sent, his messenger. That's who's supposed to teach his word, his servant. This is why we have to acknowledge Yahweh's name. Because it is Yah's servant that comes in Yah's name. And slavery has completely took us away from knowing the name of Yah. And the way to regain knowledge and the belief and the understanding to know Yah must and will and is coming from his servant who he hath sent. We have to know his name. And why do you need to know his name? Well, let me tell you this. The condition of slavery did something to us. And it was one of their main, and there is your enemies. It was one of your enemies' main pillars for building and maintaining and forwarding their system of slavery. They were given this system to use, and they had a strategy that was given to them. But this thing is so powerful. It's so important. If you don't have it, you're absolutely lost. And if you do have it, you're found. Let me show you what I'm talking about. It's Proverbs, the 83rd chapter. And I'm showing you this to show you why the name of Yah is so vitally important. In Psalms 83, I'll start reading at the first verse. It says, "Keep not thou silence, O Elohim. Hold not thy peace, and be not silent, O Elohim. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said," now this is where it is, right here. "They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation." That is their main premise. Cut off Israel from being a nation. And Israel has been cut off from being a nation. Israel is a scattered nation, is a scattered people, is a people cut off at our parts, is a people whose hope is lost, a people who cannot stand for themselves. They try to stand. They stand for something that's not worth standing for, but they have no idea that it's not worth standing for. We're a nation that has completely been eradicated from the annals of history. And the only ones that hold up Israel as being a nation is Yah's servants, and nobody wants to listen to them. But that's the main premise. Let's cut off Israel from being a nation. But Yahweh never forgot Israel and never forgot the nation. The people just, we don't know it. Cut off Israel from being a nation. That the name Yisrael may be no more in remembrance. You see, that's what they need to do. That's what they have done. They is your enemies. That's what your enemies have done. Now, how did they have the power to do it? It's in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. This is how they had the power to do it. Just showing you this so you understand this name is real important. It is vital. It's lifeblood. Now here, Deuteronomy 32, verse 26 says, I said, this is what Yah has said, I said I would scatter them in the corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. That's what the Most High prophesied for the rebellion of his people. And that is exactly what the enemies of Yah have done. Ensured that prophecy was to come forward, and it has. That is why our name, which belongs to Yah, our name is Yah's name, his personal name, is so important to you knowing, believing, and understanding who the Most High is. You need to know his name. If they cut off your name, you don't know who you are, which means you don't know who the Most High is. You don't know. That's why, look, I mean, this premise, but this is used in every aspect of society. If you don't have an ID, an identification, you're in big trouble. Why? Because you need to prove your name, who you are. How can you be identified if you don't have that name? Now, Yah's ways is not our ways. Yah has order, and the name is the order of two. Why is the name the order of two? I hope you could stay with me and check this out. A name is the order of two, and I'm going to show you a scripture that shows you what the order of two is. And what am I teaching you? I'm teaching you the importance of knowing, believing, and understanding that Yah is Elohim. But it's been the slave conditions that has completely took us away from this. And this is why we have to come to you day in, day out, night after night, day after day, week after week, month after month, and show you the word of Yah. No one else that I know has this mission, because this is a mission reserved for Yah's servants. And Yah's servants will take up this mission and do this mission till their last breath, because the only way to bring our people out of the gross darkness, as Yah said he'll do, is to show you the word of Yah. And the word of Yah must be taught. So he said you have to know, believe, and understand him. And in order to do that, you must know his name. And in the book of Genesis, I'm going to show you why the order of two and a name correlates. Go to the book of Genesis, the 41st chapter. Genesis chapter 41. I'm going to get to the meat of this here because we have other scriptures to get to. And we're going to start reading in verse 28. It says, "This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what Elohim is about to do." Pay attention. What Elohim is about to do. "He sheweth unto Pharaoh, behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following. For it shall be very grievous." And pay attention right here. "And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by Elohim, and Elohim will shortly bring it to pass." This is letting you know something that is established needs verification. Verification comes by something being doubled, done twice. This is how something is established. Go to the book of Deuteronomy 19, 15th verse. It states here, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." You need at least two. A name is in the order of two. Yah's name specifically is in the order of two. Because Yah establishes everything with his name. That is how it is established. Let me show you this in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. "Yahweh Elohim will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, out of thy brethren, like to me. Unto him ye shall hearken, and according to all that thou desirest of Yahweh thy Elohim in Horeb. In the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Yahweh my Elohim, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And Yahweh said unto me, well, that which they have spoken, I will raise up to them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I'll put my words in his mouth first." Because the word of God is the old one. "And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it come to pass, and it shall come to pass, that whoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, second, I will require it of him." Why are the words spoken in his name, because his name is what establishes the words. You can say this and you can say that, but if you say in the name of Yah, now this thing is established by the power of all. Look in the book of Genesis, 4th chapter. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, it says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For Elohim said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and his name was called Enosh. Then began men to call upon the name of Yah." So the second born, the second generation after Adam, was able to call on the name. It's established now. Yah's name is what establishes the matter. You know it is Yah's name when you're dealing with the truth, because the truth is always consistent, verified, and established. You can't run around and say, "I'm a great three-point shooter." Make it in, they'll say. And again, and again, and again. So we can establish this. Did you just have a good shot for one day, or you have a good shot every day? That's how you know something is established. It has to, Yah said, two or more witnesses. Got to be doubled. We got to see this thing repeated. This is a law of what you would call nature. This is a law of the universe. It must be established. Let me show you this thing here in the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter. The very first time you see word month, M-O-N-T-H, which does not mean moon, O-O-N, the very first time you see the word month. Now, also, let me make this point. If a moon gauged your months, then why do you first see a month spoken about and not a moon? And in Genesis, the 7th chapter, I believe it's the 11th verse, it says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened." The second month is the first time you see month. A second month is establishing that the months are real, that we are dealing with months, because you're already in the second month. The thing is established. So the first time he's going to show you a month is in the second month, because this thing is established. So why is it so important to know Yah's name if you're going to know, believe, and understand? Because you got to know that you're dealing with something that's established. Look what it says. Book of Proverbs, 30th chapter, the 5th verse. It says, "Every word of Elohim is pure. He is a shield to them that put trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he prove thee, and thou be found a liar." You know when he said every word of Elohim is pure, you know what pure means? It means verified. It means tested. Every word of Elohim is pure. Every word of Elohim is tried. How you know it's the truth. Look what it says in the book of Exodus, the 3rd chapter. In Exodus chapter 3, start reading at verse 9. It says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children, maybe that's not what I want. Hold on. Let's start reading at verse 13. And Moses said unto Elohim, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the Elohim of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? See, we're not going to believe you if you don't identify yourself, if you don't verify what's going on. And look here, a name should represent your actions. This is why Yah's name is so important. Because his name should represent, and it does, his actions. That's why it was all about what he's going to do and how, when he's going to do it. Because everything about Yah is about action. He ain't nobody just sitting in the corners not doing something. Yah is about action. Yah is a worker. It says for 6 days Yahweh worked. And we always trying to find how we could make only 2 or 3 days. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. For Yahweh in 6 days made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that there is. And he rested on the Shabbat. But you want to rest on Yom Akkad, Yom Shani, and Yom Shalishi. Day one, day two, and day three. Yahweh worked. He does things. His name represents something's going to get done. That's why he said, my word shall not come back void. Look what he says. Look how the Most High utilizes his name. In the book of Ezekiel, we'll just go to the book of Ezekiel. 34th chapter. Verse 23 and 24. It says, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. You see, Yahweh is declaring events will happen. I will set up one shepherd over them. This ain't, I'm going to go talk about stuff. I'm going to do this. And he shall feed them. He's going to do something. And even my servant David, that's his name. He shall feed them. He said it twice. Because it's going to happen. It's established. And he shall be their shepherd. He said that twice. It's established. He will do this thing. And I, Yahweh, will be their Elohim. My servant David is among them. I, Yah, have spoken it. You see how he utilized his name? He wouldn't have said it like that if his name didn't hold weight, if his name didn't mean it's going to happen. This is why we need to know this name. This is why the only way you're going to know, believe, and understand the Most High, the only way you're going to come up out of this slavery is if you know Yah's name. And how you going to know Yah's name if you're not being taught by Yah's servants? Because Yah's servant come in Yah's name. Put me to the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter. And we've been dealing with this condition of slavery that has had us completely removed from our identity, knowing who we are, knowing what we are, who we're about, what we're about. When you don't know who you are, you're lost. And you don't know who you are if you don't know your name. If you don't know your name, you're not going to know your father's name. And that is why your name was taken away. And here in the book of Exodus 34, verse 5, states, "And Yahweh descended in the cloud and stood with him there," stood with Moses, "and proclaimed the name of Yah." Why did he do this? Let me show you. Let's read a little bit earlier in chapter 33 of Exodus. In verse 17, it says, "And Yah said unto Moses, I will do this thing all that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of Yah before thee, and will be gracious to whom will be gracious, and I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy." So Yah did this because he said he would do it for Moses. Proclaim his name, because Yah's name is living. And when he did this back in Exodus 34, verse 5, it says, "And Yah descended in the cloud and stood with him there, proclaimed the name of Yah. And Yahweh passed by before him and proclaimed, Yah, Yahweh Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant goodness and truth." That's what he said when he proclaimed his name. These are all things that are to be done. Yah is merciful. That's not a state of mind. That's an act of being merciful, of having loving kindness. Love is not a philosophy. Love is not an idea. Love is not a state of mind. Love is work. Loving kindness is double work. Yah is merciful and gracious, long suffering. You talking about suffering wrongfully? Yahweh is the one that has suffered through all of our iniquities, has suffered long through all of the blasphemies. Yah has suffered through all of the hypocrisies, just waiting patiently until it is time to proclaim his name, and abundant in goodness and truth. Of course Yah is. Because his name is in the order of two. This is who he is. And Yah is keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Yah, let my master, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance." And he said, "Behold, make a covenant before all thy people, and I will do marvels." Yeah, Yah does marvels. Black Panther in Wakanda. Even though it's a great movie, where do you think they got the Marvel from? Yah does the marvels. That's the true marvel. Yahweh. He will do marvels. such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of Yah. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself. Thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you go, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no Elohim other Elohim. For Yah, whose name is jealous, is a jealous Elohim. His name is jealous. By itself, it's jealous. That's who Yah is. His name is jealous, meaning it's a burning fire that will not allow any other Elohim to stand near, with, or around him, because there is no other Elohim. His name is jealous. And that is why he said in verse 15, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their deities, and do sacrifice unto their deities. And that is what has happened due to slave condition. We have wittingly and unwittingly made covenants with these people, your enemies. Make covenants with them. You've gone to their sacrifices. One calls you to a sacrifice, and you eat of their sacrifices. You go into that Muslim restaurant that says halal meat. Why do you think it's halal? Because they sacrificed it unto their false deity. And you went in there and made a covenant by buying it. Agreed, I'm going to give you this, you going to give me that, and I'm going to eat of your sacrifice. I know you think that I'm stretching. This is what's going on. That's exactly what you're doing. You're going on over into these kosher restaurants and blessing their food in the name of Hashem. Who is Hashem? Who is the name? We are supposed to eat of the sacrifices to Yah. And those are only for special times. We don't go and eat of the sacrifices where other names of deities has been put on there that are no Elohim. He say in verse 16, thou shalt take of their daughters unto thy son, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their Elohim, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their Elohim. He's saying, don't do this. That's what will happen when you do it. When you start going and dealing with other nations, deities, who are not Elohim at all, and calling on these false names that hold no power, you are giving up the name of Yah, the only true and living Elohim. And slavery has put us in the condition to where we didn't know his name, didn't know who he was. So how could we believe him? How could we understand? But this is the time. This is the season where you go and you seek Yah and ask for his name. You get your name back. And you call on the name of Yah, and you will see that there is no other Elohim. There is no other name in which we shall swear by and live by. As Yahweh told us in Deuteronomy, he said this in Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, or the tenth chapter. in Deuteronomy chapter 10, in verse 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is Yahweh's, thy Elohim, earth also, with all that therein is, only Yah, had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked, for Yahweh your Elohim is Elohim of Elohim, and a master of masters, a great Elohim, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear Yah thy Elohim. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy Elohim, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. We only to swear by his name. We only to fear him, and we're only to cleave unto him. And this is how we get up out of this slavery. We seek the Most High. We seek his name. We call on his name. And we fear him in his name. Because Yahweh is a jealous Elohim. There is no Elohim, and there is no Savior besides the mighty Yah. And once you come to know that, you're going to believe him. Because when you know Yah's name, you know that he's about that action. And there ain't no trouble believing Yah, because you know he's going to come through. And then you're going to understand that he's the only power. Hallelujah. Until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much. And so we at the house of Israel. Shalom.
To you, my Yah, do I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. Put shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh, Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy. Captivity is taking hold upon me. Put frighten me and now we flee from falling leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we